Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, good morning, folks, and welcome to Radio for Your Mind. I tell you what, it has already started to be just an awesome, awesome day. And, you know, you can't go wrong this way. Matter of fact, I have a good friend of mine. She's like a sister. Donna Gunzelman is actually, she's over here just saying, Troy, wanted to tell you I'm having a great day, wanted to say hi. And, you know, you get your hat goes off when you make friends. It's amazing, but you would not make these friends if you did not learn what's in Lisa's book, How to Conquer Fear. That is the overall drive in anybody's life, in any area of your life. And when we think about it, it's so easy to conquer fear when we're young. You know, I can remember when I was growing up, I had no fear in my body. I would ride my bike and jump over ramps. I would get on sleds and jump off of cliffs. You know, I would get on a motorcycle and run it. Well, kind of like I drive my truck now. I mean, you know, it's amazing when you actually look at fear. But somewhere along the way, men and women get this driving anxiety most of the time. And they fear failure. Somewhere along the way, we learn the word no so many times. We learn the phrases, you can't do that. What are you thinking? Oh my gosh. That all of a sudden we become paralyzed. And it's sad, but we're all that way. And if we're in sales and marketing of any kind, Katie, bar the door, we never want to hear the word no. And it's because most of the time we do not understand the magnitude of what that word means. Listen to what Lisa writes in Chapter 7, Conquer Your Fear of Failure. She says, fear of failure can put you in a state of paralysis. You never dream big because you don't want to have to risk. You don't complete your goal so you won't have to face the thought of possibly failing at it. Maybe you've been hurt before in a relationship so you fear loss, rejection, or being unaccepted. Maybe you've experienced violence in your relationships and because of it you don't want confrontation. Whatever your experience or situation, you can break through your fear of failure by knowing the truth about it. When you adopt empowering beliefs about failure, you can learn to step on each failure using them as stepping stones guiding you to your success. Lisa has one chapter on this. John Maxwell wrote a whole book called Failing Forward. I suggest as a follow-up to Lisa's book that you buy his book because he shares in their stories of great successful men and women who have failed. But the concept of what Lisa is teaching us in Chapter 7 is to change our view of failure. And when we do, our fear of it will change also. And as I studied this chapter, because, folks, let me tell you something. You know, I can remember in 1990, Paige and I had just gotten back together. I had left her for a while. We were separated. She was pregnant with Dalton. And I remember when we got back together, she said, I want to take a trip. I want to go to Destin. And I said, okay, let's go. And we had a beautiful time. We stopped by Memphis on the way down. I had a bail bond convention that I had to go to and be with and meet one of my mentors, Harvey Childs, who happens to have the largest bail bond and bounty hunting recovery agency in the world. And we had a great time. And we came on down to Destin, a couple that had only been married a few years and had this brand new baby on the way. And we fell in love with this place. And I remember then that we had said, man, we want to move here. We'd gone and looked at property, found us a lot that we loved, little bitty lot. They wanted $20,000 for it, if I remember right at the time. We went back to her mom and dad and said, we don't have the money. Can we borrow it from you? And they said, good gosh, no, you don't pay that kind of money for a lot. Why, we can buy a whole farm for that. This is just an island. It's just sand. You don't want to do that. And we let that dream pass. We moved down here in 2000. That lot was for sale for $175,000. A few years later, it sold for a little over $300,000. Today, there's a multi-million dollar home sitting on it. You cannot let your fear of failure, you cannot let the lies about failure get in your way, because we looked at that and said, well, you know, we better listen to our mom and dad. If we invest that kind of money, we could lose it. I remember in 95 when we made our commitment to move here, and then the hurricanes came. We did not let our dream die. We just postponed it. And I remember in 2000 when we packed up our U-Haul truck. We put my old car on a trailer, and we drove our van. No job, $5,000 in the bank. I should say no permanent job. I had a temporary assignment with the census in 2000. We moved to Destin and have never looked back. Now we own a beautiful home, 5 bedrooms. We're raising our children and our grandchildren in it. We're a block off the beach. God is blessed. But we had to overcome our fear of failure. We had to overcome and learn the truths about failure. Listen to what Lisa writes about the truths. I love this. Put this on a 3x5 card. It'd take up the front and the back, but it's awesome. Failures are the steps you take to bring you success. Failure helps you to depend on others more. Oh, good Lord, that's true. Failure can help you bring you closer to God. I've seen that in my own life. Failure is a small part of the big picture. If you have not had a failure in the last year, you are not growing enough. That's a tough one, but I love it. Growing hurts, but not growing destroys. Failure is a teacher to show you what not to do. Failure is a great way to help you say, I'm sorry more. I've used that one a lot. Failure is a way to show you that you can't do it alone. Failure is a sign that you need to stop, assess, and change. Failure is a part of life. Failure was never intended to kill you or to stop you. And then Lisa goes on and says, you write your own truths about failure in here. Now listen to this little paragraph of what she says. When you get into your head that failure is a part of your journey to success, that it is inevitable and necessary for the process, you will begin to withstand the temptation to quit when you had your first fight, heard your first no, or experienced your first setback. You will not succumb to self-doubt, depression, or worry with your first no, or even your 81st no. I can relate to that. So I remember back in our relationship, I was dumb. Paige and I had gotten a fight. I said, I'm done with this. I don't need to fight. And I left. Wasn't like there was another woman or anything. If anything, there was my business. I started spending the night at my office. I'm so dumb, though, I'd go home to take a shower. One day I went home, the locks were changed on the door. And she basically said, you can't have your cake and eat it too. Oh, well, that sucks. And it wasn't too long that I realized this was the greatest woman in my life, but she'd learned a valuable lesson too. I wasn't just going to get back into her heart and into her bed and into her home. I had to earn the right. I had to understand that I had to conquer my fear of losing her in order to win her. See, it's funny how we do these things in our relationships, but when it comes to sales, for whatever reason, we're dumb. You know, we get rejection. We go, oh, my gosh, no, I don't want to do that. Ah! Listen to what Lisa writes in here. I think this is good. Rejection to the salesperson is the greatest form of failure. You feel the pain of failure with every no you get. It is the one thing that will keep you frozen like an ice sculpture, incapable of movement, immobilized until you just melt away. No one wants to be rejected. However, now listen to this. This isn't in her book. This is me. See, I learned something. Now, she learned this at Mary Kay years ago, but this is what I learned when I was with Primerica. I started learning how many no's I had to have in order to get a yes. See, I needed to go through 17 no's. Don't ask me why, but that's what my average was. 17 families would say, no, we don't want to set an appointment. No, we don't want to set an appointment. No, I don't want to be part of your business. No, that's an old A.O. Williams thing. No, that's a pyramid. I'd hear that about 17 times before I'd get somebody to say yes. But here's the kicker. Every time I heard a yes, I would make on average at that time, because my contract was smaller than what it was when I left, I would make $1,200. So I figured out that, okay, if I have to hear 17 no's, in order to get one yes, then that's about what, $67 that I'm earning per no. So every time I heard a no, I'd jot down $67. I just earned $67. I just earned $67. And then all of a sudden on that 18th when I heard a yes, my minimum pay was $1,200. I knew exactly what I'd earned through that whole process. I was never working for free. I understood that the no's were a training. When I heard the word no, I didn't say, well, you jerk, why aren't you listening to me? I would be very cautious because I learned a long time ago questions are the key. And I'd say, I fully understand. I have no problem with that. Could I ask a question, though? Are you saying no because you really don't believe what I'm showing you here, or is there another reason? And you know what? Because I built such rapport with people, they would always tell me exactly why they were saying no to something. You know, most of the time it's because a relative that they had sold them their life insurance policy and they didn't want to offend them. Almost every time I walked out of a home, I walked out of it with referrals. When I'd call those referrals on the phone, they'd have already talked to the person. You know what they were? They'd say, Troy, they said you're the most gentle salesman they've ever seen, that you weren't pushy, that you weren't pressure, and they wanted us to talk to you because they really thought we could use something. I still had the same no's, don't get me wrong. But I learned to take those no's and work with them. I've got a tenacious spirit. I don't have a give-up spirit. I fell in love with Paige at 16. It took me to 22 to get her to say yes. I courted that girl a long time. You've got to learn to overcome that. In today's world, when I look at this and I read Lisa's book, her next area says, regain your courage. And I just smiled when I read that. Listen to what she writes. Your lack of courage is costing you a lot. Lack of courage is affecting your relationships, your sales, your level of success, and your ability to live an authentic life. It is your lack of courage that keeps you from the relationship you always wanted. It's the lack of courage that stops you from picking up the 3,000-pound telephone and asking for the sale. It's your lack of courage that keeps you from receiving your promotion. And it's the lack of courage that keeps you from doing something a little outrageous to get what you want. Does that ring a bell? Does that penetrate into your heart? Listen to this. People who lack courage have lost a most important thing, hope. And when someone loses hope, they lose the most powerful motivator that drives all success. Without hope, people fall into deep despair. They actually become blind to opportunity. This life of despair becomes a habit. But just like all habits, you can reverse this negative behavior and change your belief. Folks, I believe that with all my heart. Every day I have some type of a challenge that will hit me. Sometimes it's in business, sometimes it's in personal life, sometimes it's in other people's lives, it's in relationships. None of us go through life without challenges. It's how we address them. That's what matters. See, when Lisa writes this, it amazes me. Because this is a young lady who has gone through this herself, and now she decided to use it as the catalyst, the springboard to help other people. Today on my Facebook site, the great Richard Brook, who just is a dynamic company owner, a dynamic speaker in his own right, came on to there and said, Troy, when you meet Lisa, you are going to love her. I believe that 100%. Now, I've chatted with her once, but I've never really got to meet her. I'm meeting her through her book, and I am so impressed. I'm so privileged, first of all, that she would let me do this on the radio with her book and not stress that I might tear it up. So I believe it's women and men like Lisa that can change the world. She writes this, cultivate childlike thinking. And I pondered this little section that she wrote in here, and I started thinking about it as I read it. Listen to this. Research tells us that over half of a person's thoughts are filled with everyday stuff, like returning phone calls, paying bills, making contacts, cleaning the house, getting the kids, whatever. We are often so swept up by everyday routine that we fail to see the possibilities put right in front of us. Research also tells us that over half of the salespeople miss an opportunity simply because They are not awake to it. She wrote this book in 2004. I was blessed at an early age to start learning some of the stuff that she's teaching in here. I learned that I always had to be looking forward. I read Think and Grow Rich and realized that, you know what, work, the success, opportunities, all that is usually dressed as hard work. It's dressed as in bibs and overalls. You got to work your way to get something. You can't just be have it given to you. You know, do you realize that even people that we say were born with a silver spoon in their mouth, they have to learn to eat or else that silver spoon will get tarnished? See, Lisa writes in here, cultivate childlike thinking. Listen to what she wrote. One day as I sat outside with my daughter, she said, Mom, did you know there's no such thing as a baby butterfly? Seeing my confused stare, she continued, the caterpillar comes out of the cocoon as an adult butterfly. It is never a baby. She's right. Children are so brilliant and awake to the unique. What about you? See, are you looking for those unique opportunities? Do you realize that your fear of failure is keeping you from seeing the actual unique opportunities that face you every day? Today, I will actually make contact with several people that are very successful. And the bottom line of my contact with them will be to ask them for money, to be paying for my services. How many of you can say that you're willing to do that? To get on the phone with multimillionaires who run successful international corporations and say, I need your help, you need to hire me. How many of you will today get on the phone with your product or your service and call somebody and say, listen to me right now. You need to hire me. You need to buy my service, buy my product, and be willing to hear the word no. I talked about my Primerica days and how it took me 18 contacts with 17 no's. Today, I can usually make 5 contacts to a very targeted list of people and get a yes. It's not because I'm a Superman. It's because I've studied men and women like Lisa, and I understand what they're writing. I've had to work it in my own life. It's because I've got men and women in my life like Tom Hopp and Lisa Jimenez and Donnie Scamanchi and John Maxwell, who I can turn to. And I love that. Lisa writes a little area in here called practice extravagant thinking. Now, I grew up, as you guys know, on the wrong side of the track. So extravagant thinking, I mean, why would I want to do that? You know, you can't trust extravagant people. Listen to what she writes in here. Resist saying real life just isn't that way. If you have a relationship with God, you're not in the real world. You are in a supernatural powers of God. Resist the temptation to always play it safe. Resist saying, I'm too old for that, or I don't have the time for that, or I tried it before and it didn't work. My friend Brian Hunt, who owns Opportunity Connection with his brother, their dad's in their 70s, and you know he does a 2-week mission trip every year because he wants to help other people. Blows my mind, but he doesn't worry about being too old, too slow, or any of that. Derek Bros, one of my good friends, business partner, Peter Lupus, is in his 80s, and he's getting ready to set another world record for being able to lift the most weight for somebody over the age of 70. He's already set the record for 70, so now he's going for 80. It's truly amazing. It's truly amazing when I see this. It will blow your mind when you think about extravagant thinking. Some of you may be listening today and say, Troy, I think it's extravagant thinking for you to be calling multimillionaires asking them for money. So you got to get over this, because if you start thinking outside the box, if you start acting outside of the box, all of a sudden the sky's the limit. I looked at this and I thought, I love this. What Lisa writes in here will blow your mind. She asks this question, listen to this. Do you allow time for serendipity in your structured schedule? Or is it just a to-do list and it's so long that there's no time left for surprises? Do you allow yourself time for fun? When was the last time you laughed? I mean, really laughed. See, laughter is so beautiful, and most of us never do that. humans are the only creatures with the ability to laugh. And so many times we don't use it. So when I look at that, I think, man, this gal writes such powerful stuff. How can you show? How can you break through this and have extravagant thinking? See, I love the way this thing works. I love what she's talking about, how to conquer fear. What about if you started to dream extravagantly? I can remember when Paige and I made our dream book about living at the beach. People would say, you're living in utopia. You think because moving at the beach, life's going to be any better? You think all your problems are going to go away? And we just snickered. See, in 10 years that we've moved here, I've got one son in prison. I've had another son that's had his own little trials and tribulations in court. We've had two or three hurricanes. We've had an oil spill that's beyond anything anybody's ever dreamed of. We've had droughts, torrential rains, a leaking roof. Paige had a kidney stone. I walked away from a very successful job after moving here in order to be in business for myself. We had a baby and didn't have insurance because we weren't expecting to have another child. It's not about the everyday situations. It's about dreaming extravagantly. I've got a dream right now. Some of you won't even recognize the name of this company. It's a very unique company. It's in its niche of itself, but it's called PricewaterhouseCoopers. And with a little bit of brainstorming from my mastermind group, I want to create the PricewaterhouseCoopers of direct selling. With a little bit more motivation, I've got Tom Hopp, who is now co-writing a book with me to help in the MLM, the network marketing, the direct selling arena. With friends and distant relationships like Lisa's, we're able to dream extravagantly. I remember Paige's dream. She said, honey, it's been great writing inspirational romances. It's time to break into the romance in the big way, in the series romance. I want to be able to go out there and make 7 figures a year with my romance. I said, go for it, baby. You've got to dream big. You've got to dream extravagantly. See, it's time to get back your courage. It's time to move this thing to a new level. Listen to what she writes here. Another great way to cultivate your risk-taking ability is to think back on what you've already done. What have you done when you called on your courage that surprised even you? The human condition is about surviving under unmentionable odds. All we have are stories of courageous acts. Think about that for a second. Your courageous acts. I remember one of mine that doesn't have anything to do with sales. I was fresh back home. I was in the Marine Corps. I was in the reserves at the time, and I decided to start doing some bounty hunting. And I went downtown and talked to a man named Sam Bruno. He's passed away these days. Sam owned one of the most successful bail bond organizations in Kansas City. I said, Sam, here's who I am. Here's my background. I'm a rookie out here in the real world. Here's what I've done. And I remember him reaching across. He had a little box on his desk. He pulled out and he slid his card across the table to me. He said, Troy, if you can bring this guy in, I'll hire you. I looked at the card. The guy was wanted on failure to appear charges, domestic violence. He was wanted on an attempted murder, variety of things. I said, all right, if I can bring him back in how much, and he told me how much I'd get paid, and I said, that works for me. I went out and got in my car. I drove over to the address. It was in the projects. Went up to the 5th floor, banged on the door. Little black gallon lingerie, half-dressed, came to the door, said, what do you want? And I said, I'm looking for so-and-so. Is he here? She said, yes. Closed the door. Didn't invite me in. I'm standing on the balcony. I look over, and here's all these guys surrounding my car down below. They're just looking up at me. The guy came to the door, stood about 6'4". I'm 6 foot. He said, "What do you want?" I said, "I represent Bruno Bonding. You missed a court date. I need to take you back over to Sam. He's going to decide if they're going to rebond you out or if your butt's going to jail. We got two ways of doing this. You can either come with me with no problems at all, or we can see just how bad you want to stay out of jail." He said, no, let me get dressed. So I closed the door, didn't invite me in, closed the door, got dressed, came out, very cordial man. We go downstairs, get in the car, drive back over to Sam's office. And I wish I could have had all he had was Polaroids. I wish I'd have had a picture of what Sam's face looked like. He comes in, sits down. I sit down. Sam never says a word to me. He looks over to this guy and says, "Why are you here?" And this guy looked at him and said, "You know, Sam, I figured two things was taking place. Either this white boy was the dumbest white boy I've ever met, or he's the meanest white boy I'd ever met." See, what had happened was I didn't think about where I was going. I didn't think about what was asked. I'd been given a task to accomplish. As the story came out, this guy hadn't been wanted on murder once. He was wanted on a variety of murder charges. I'd walked into a projects where most of the time when a police call came in, the police didn't even show up. But see, I didn't know what fear was. Now, had somebody told me all the stuff they told me afterwards, I can guarantee I probably wouldn't have gone down there by myself at all, if I'd have gone at all. But I didn't know what fear was. And because I didn't, I took a courageous act. I earned great money, too, by the way. That was awesome. What would happen in your life if you did not worry about the fear of failure, and you made those courageous acts, you moved forward? Do you know, when I walked out of my office the last day on July in 2004, I had just been paid, not 30 days before that, I had just been paid a $20,000 quarterly bonus. Each of my bonuses had gone up in pay. So you figure that probably the next quarter it would have been $25,000-$30,000. The quarter after that, $35,000-$40,000. I mean, I busted my butt. I earned it. I walked away from that because I'd grown so comfortable that I'd left my family behind. And see, I took some courageous moves. Some people would say that was dumb. Lisa would smile. See, I believe, just like Lisa does, if you mix your dreams with your vision, here's what you get: reality. See, I know what my dreams are. I want the best that life can give my family today, and I want to leave a legacy for my great grandchildren. See, if I can formulate a plan, if I can watch my dreams become reality, then I can create a legacy to where, Lord willing, and the creek don't rise, I will leave a legacy for my family, something that my great-grandkids will be able to expand on. When you look at the South, you see people that can trace their roots back all the way to the Civil War. I can. My great-great-grandmother happened to be the grandma of Jesse James. I take pride in that. I know a lot of you probably say, "Good Lord, Troy, why?" But you know what? My good friend Derek Rose is roots all the way back to Jesse James too. See, the legacy that's left, whether it's good or bad, is up to you. It's your day to day to conquer your fear. It's your day to go buy Lisa's book. You can go to rx-success.com and you can get Lisa's book. Man, don't wait till it's too late. Tomorrow we end this series with her last chapter, which I just love, Conquer Your Fear of Success. Folks, be with us tomorrow morning. You do not want to miss it. Live life like it's an epic adventure, and we'll see you at the top. Bye now.